Good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Beis in Chulin. Okay, we're back on Lamed Aleph, and we're starting at the bottom of the Amud, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, and we begin the discussion here today from the Mishnah. No, not the Mishnah, we're at the two dots, towards the bottom of the page, about six, seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the word Zitmar. The Mishnah taught us the following. The Mishnah says that if the knife falls off your hand, out of your hand, so you're on the top of, you're in a high elevation, you're in a rooftop, and the knife falls out of your hand. So the Mishnah says, even if it shechs kedarka, right? You had no intention whatsoever. And not only did you not have any intention, but you didn't even insert any koach, into the knife. So the Mishnah tells us the shechita is not a good shechita, right? It's psula. The Mishnah says, Mishnah quotes the pasuk, "V'zavachta v'achalta, mashata zovech ataochal." You have to be zovech, you have to shecht. So if the knife just simply falls out of your hand, so then that's not going to be a good shechita. So the Gemara jumps on the Mishnah, and the Gemara says, okay, but let's say you did the following. Let's say you threw the knife down. Oh, okay, that's better. Because now at least there's koach gavra, there's some force into the knife. So the Gemara makes the diuk in the Mishnah that if you threw the knife down, so that would be a good shechita, even though you had no intention to shecht, but you simply threw the knife down. And then the Gemara tells us that that's subject to a machlokus between Rabbi Nassan and the Chachamim. Rabbi Nassan says that you don't need kavana whatsoever to shecht, you just simply need koach gavra, you just need the force of a person. And that's in the Chachamim say, no, you need kavana to shecht. So the Gemara says that machlokus between Rabbi Nassan and the Chachamim is really what's at the core of our Mishnah over here. And the Gemara points out that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Nassan, meaning that Rabbi Nassan says you don't need kavana at all, not even to shecht. You just simply need koach gavra, just simply need the force of a human being. So our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Nassan that you simply don't need kavana whatsoever. Good. That's what we saw yesterday, and the Gemara firmly tells us that the halacha is like Rabbi Nassan, that you don't need kavana to shecht. Okay, itmar. So the Gemara now is going to take us into the following discussion, and that is the discussion of koach gavra, meaning what kind of kavana do we need altogether? So idmar, nida shenens of a tavla. So let's say we're going to really go off course over here in terms of the topic of discussion, but in terms of theme, in terms of ideas, it's basically going to be the same idea. Let's say you have the following. Let's say you have a woman who's a nida, and she tovels in the mikvah, but not on her own. She was toveled, right? She was forced to tovel in the mikvah. We'll talk later on exactly what that case is, what the exact scenario. But right now, let's just deal with it in the theory. Okay, so she was forced to tovel in the mikvah. So Rav Yehuda Marav Torah lebeisav aso lecho b'tshuma. So Rav Yehuda Marav says, okay, so in terms of being with her husband, that's fine. She can be with her husband. In terms of eating truma, she can't eat truma. So Rav Yochanan Marav lebeisav lo tahara. And Rav Yochanan says, no, it's not a tahara whatsoever. Meaning, her toveling in the mikvah was nothing because she didn't do it on her own. She didn't do it volitionally. She did it forced. It was a forced tefillah. So therefore, it's simply nothing. It's not gonna. She can't be with her husband. She can't eat truma. So Amalei Rav LeRav Nachman LeRav Damar Torah LeBeisav Aso Lecho B'Truma. So Rav says, let's think about Rav for just a moment, because Rav is difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand. Avon Kares Hutra Iser Misa Mibaye. Right. You have a woman who's a nida. So for her to have relations with her husband, that's an Iser Kares. For her to eat truma, that's Misa B'Dei Shamayim. I mentioned at the very end of yesterday's daf, right, Rashi points out, Karis is more chamer. Karis is much more severe, right? Karis affects you, and it affects the your children as well. Well, as opposed to Misa B'Dei Shamayim, only affects you. So I don't understand. This is Rava now trying to make sense of Rava. I don't understand. So you're telling me that she was forced to tovel in the mikvah, so to be with her husband, which could potentially be an Isser Karis, oh, that's okay. But to be with her, to eat truma, she can't do. But that's only Misa B'Dei Shamayim. I don't understand what the difference is. So Amalei Bala Chulin Hu V'Chulin Lo B'Kavana. So the Gemara says the difference is fundamental. Because to be with her husband, that's not eating truma. That's not eating Kodesh. That's not in the world of Kachim. That's Chulin. And when it comes to Chulin, there's no Kavana that's required for Chulin. Similar to our discussion right here that we're learning in Chulin regarding shechting of an animal. Meaning if I'm shechting an animal that's not a karban, I don't need kavana. How do I know that? Because I see that from the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives a scenario where the knife falls out of my hand and it cuts, so that's no good. But if I throw the knife, even though I had no intent whatsoever to shecht, That would be fine. So what you see from the Mishnah and what you're and what we and we're using the same concept to explain Rav is that when it comes to chulin, when it comes to non-kachem items, I don't need kavana. I just need an act. And the bottom line is she did actually tov on the mikvah. Now, how do I know this? How do I see this? We're going to now demonstrate other areas in halacha where we see you don't need kavana when it comes to chulin. So the Gemara says, considering the following, that now we learned in a Mishnah. Gal shenitlash. We're talking about a big wave, right? We don't see these big waves here in Boca, right? We see little waves. Right. But if you go out, you're right. If you go out of, you know, or, you know, hurricanes that create these big waves. So gal shenitlash, let's say you have this big wave that comes off the ocean. Now, the ocean obviously is water, is a body of water that's good for tefillah. It's you can immerse yourself in such a body of water. And let's say you have a wave that comes off. So, uvo arbaim sa'a. Now, in that wave, it's a big one, there's 40 sa'a of water, which means that you could tovel on such a thing. V'nafal al ha'adam v'al ha'kelim ta'orim. If that wave falls on either a person who needs to tov on the mikvah or on kelim, on utensils who need to tov on the mikvah, so the halacha is, it is tahor. It's good. It's fine. Such a tefillah would work. Okay. Now, there are a couple of issues that need to be discussed over here, but right now let's just deal with the basic topic of discussion, which is kavana. So you have a crashing wave. My lav adam dumi de kelim. Now here, we're discussing two items toveling in the mikvah, a human and kelim. Now, it's not by sheer coincidence that the Mishnah discusses both of those items, a human and kelim. Ma kelim de lo mechavni af adam nami lo bai kavana. Now, a kli is an inanimate object. Did it have kavana? I know that seems like a silly question, but this is a setup. Obviously, the answer is no. Just like a kli doesn't have kavana, so too a person doesn't need kavana. Okay, so this is a Gemara now looking at this Mishnah and showing you that when it comes to toveling in the mikvah, you don't need kavana. So the Gemara says, "Mimai dama biyoshev mitzapa askinan emasayit lashagal v'kelim dum yedadam ma adam debina kavana af kelim nami dekam mechavein luhu adam." The Gemara says you could simply make an easy reversal of the argument. And you could say, no, you're waiting, you're sitting there at the shore, and you're saying, I'm waiting for the big wave, meaning you have full intent to tovel in such a mikvah, the wave mikvah. And we could just simply argue the opposite, meaning that the person requires kavana. What about the kelim? You're going to have kavana for the kelim, right? Every time you tovel something in the mikvah, obviously the kli's not having kavana, obviously. You're having kavana for the kli. So the way we could read the Mishnah is just the exact opposite. You do require kavana, and the case could be you're sitting there and waiting for the wave to crash on you. And you're sitting there and you're waiting for the wave to crash on your kli. Okay, so if anything, this Mishnah could prove just the other way around. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, what is the Mishnah teaching us? We say this time and again. Mishnayos are there to teach us something, right? The Mishnah is not there just simply to give you cases, right? Obviously, there has to be a self-contained chiddush in the Mishnah. And if the chiddush is not kavana, because that would have been an excellent chiddush, if the chiddush is not kavana, what is the chiddush of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, V'chitem abiyoshim mitzapa ma'la me'ma ma'udetem aligzer mishim chardal shal gushamim inam aligzer rushen atu kipin. So the Gemara says, I could imagine that there are two reasons why the rabbis would have been gozer, why they would have decreed that you cannot tovel in a wave. Number one, the Gemara says, Mishum chardal shel gishamim. Let's say you have rainwater, rained on a mountain, and the rain basically created pools of rivers coming down the mountain. You can't tovel under such circumstances. Why? Rashi points out, because when it comes to rainwater that's flowing rainwater, so there is no chibur, there's no connection between one part of the rain and the other part of the rainwater. And so therefore you don't have 40 saw, right? If it's a natural spring water, if it's a natural water source that's flowing, that you could tovel in. But if it's rainwater that's just simply coming off and it doesn't have a source, it doesn't have a base, it's just simply flowing down the mountain. There's no chibur, there's no connection, and that wouldn't work. So, maybe what the Chachamim would be concerned with is, if I would be able to tova in the wave, so the next thing I would think to myself is, well, if I could tova in the wave, I could also tova in the rain, in the flowing rainwater. So that's one reason why I might have thought the Chachamim made a gzera. Another reason why I would have thought the Chachamim made a gzera is the following. Because when we say we tova in the wave, right, crashing waves, that's only on the crash. Meaning you can tovel in the wave that actually hits the ground. What about, you know, right, you have that picture in your head of the guy who's riding the wave, right, that big wave down in Hawaii where there's that big, whatever it's called, the funnel, cone. You can't tovel on the top part of the wave. It's what the Gemara here refers to as kippin, right? Kippin is like the dome, the top of the wave. You can't tovel on that part. Why not? So Rashi points out, because it's not mechuba lakarka, it's not connected to the ground. Meaning, mikvah has to be in the ground, it has to be connected to the ground. In the ground, on the ground, it has to be mechubar. The keep in the top of the wave, you can't tovel it. So, if there would be an allowance to tovel in the crashing part of the wave, so the next thing you may do the next time is not tovel in that part, but jump up and tovel in the top part of the wave, right? The roof of the wave, so to say. And that doesn't work. So another reason why I might have thought that the Chachamim would be goes there and would decree that you can't tovel on the wave, that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. For two reasons, I might have thought the Chachamim made Gzera. The Chachamim did not make Gzera. That's a simple conclusion of the Mishnah. Uminat tamer delo matbil and bekeepin. And how do I know this? How do I know that I cannot tovel on the top part of a wave? Did not. We learned in the Mishnah. Matbil and berashim ain't matbil and bekeepin. Shein matbil and beavir. Okay, fine. And the Mishnah, and the Gemara quotes a Mishnah that teaches us that you can't tovel on the top part of the wave because it's ba'avir, it's not connected to the ground. All right. Back to our topic of discussion. So again, a woman who's a nida is forced into the mikvah. Okay? Again, later we'll discuss exactly how she was forced, what happened over there. But she was forced into the mikvah. She comes out of the mikvah. So Rav Yehuda Marav says that she can go home to her husband. Why? Because that's chulin. Chulin doesn't require kavana. She can't eat truma. Because eating truma is kachim, and that requires kavana. So once again, where does this come from? Where does this idea that for chulin you don't need kavana? So back to trying to find a source for this. Did not. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll have a Mishnah Machshirin, obviously. Obviously. The Mishnah Machshirin discusses the following. Machshirin, we discussed this a number of times already. Right, a popular topic, especially in Chulin, it's been coming up a bunch of times. Machshirin food can only become susceptible to tumah only if it comes into contact with a liquid, and only if you want that liquid. Right, there has to be a ritsui, there has to be desire for that liquid. If the liquid falls on the fruit and you did not want it, bein betchila bein besof, whether in the beginning, whether in the end, whatever food it is, is not mukhshir lekabel tumah, it's not susceptible to receive tumah. The Mishnah Machshirin discusses the following scenario. Perish enough l'tok amas hamayim. You have fruit that falls into a canal of water. Right? There are seven liquids that can make food susceptible to tumah. We're going to be discussing water. Upashat mishiyadav tameos v'natlan. And a person now wants to get the fruit, and that person happens to have hands that are tameh. Right? Yadayim, hands can become tameh. Albeit hands only are tameh on a derabbanan level. But so be it. And the way that you can make your hands tahor is by sticking them into a source of water, into a mikvah. Or what you could do is you could take water, put it into a kli, and wash your hands with those waters. We're familiar with that move. That's what we do before we eat bread. Okay, good. So hands becoming tameh. So here the Mishnah describes the person whose hands are tameh, he puts it into the water in order to take the fruit out. Yadav taharos uperos einan b'chiyutan. So a funny thing happens. Your hands become tahor, even though the only reason why you put your hands in there is to get the fruit out. Your hands become tahor. And as far as the fruit is concerned, einan b'chiyutan. You didn't want them to go into the water. You had no desire for them to go into the water. So just contact with water by itself is not enough. You need contact with water plus ritsui. You have to want it. and here you didn't want it, so therefore it's not bechiyutan, it's not mukshar lekabel tuma. If you did want the fruit to become clean, meaning even after the fact, meaning after they fell in, and you picked the fruit up, so the fruit are now bechiyutan, meaning the fruit are mukshar lekabel tuma, and your hands are tahor. Meanwhile, as far as the halachas and machshirin are concerned, that interests us, but not for now. Meaning with the point that the reason why the Gemara brought down this mission, machshirin, is what does it clearly illustrate? That if your hands go into the water, even though you had no intent whatsoever for tahara, nevertheless your hands are going to become tahor. Why? Because when in the world of chulin, all you need are hands which are tahor. All you need to do is just put your hands into the mikvah, that's it, with no kavana. So we will learn a Mishnah in Chagiga, right? We knew these Mishnahs in Chagiga would come up because these Mishnahs in Chagiga are basically, you need kavana when you tov on the mikvah. So for example, the Mishnah Chagiga says, tava l'chulin. Let's say when you tov on the mikvah, you say to yourself, I'm toveling the mikvah so I can eat chulin. Okay. By the way, you don't need to tovel in the mikvah to eat chulin. You can eat chulin even without toveling in the mikvah, right? Adventure to say that we're discussing maybe a scenario where you want to train yourself to eat everything in the state of tahara. Okay. Anyway, but the Mishnah writes, tovel b'chulin v'chuzik l'chulin asal ma'aser. You can't eat ma'aser because your intent to tovel in the mikvah is only to eat chulin. You said before you tovel in the mikvah, this is so I can eat chulin. You can eat meiser. And by the way, when we say meiser over here, we mean meiser sheni that has some level of kedusha. So the Gemara says, but what do you see over here? That when you tovel in the mikvah, before you tovel in the mikvah, you said, "I'm doing this to eat chulin." Why do you need to even say that? You don't need to say that. Hasn't our point been from the beginning of this morning that for chulin you don't need kavana whatsoever? So Hachi Kamar, so the Gemara says, Alpha Pishuchzik L'chulin Asala Meiser. You're right. You don't need Kavana to eat chulin. Absolutely correct. The point of the Mishnah is that even though you said you're going to have Kavana, but your Kavana was only for chulin, that's it. You're capped at eating chulin. Eitzvei, the Gemara asks another question. Tavo v'lohuchzik ilo lo tavo. The Mishnah says in Chagiga that if you tovled and you had no Kavana whatsoever, it's as if you didn't tovel. Right. How do you understand that Mishnah? So my love kilo lo tava klal. So doesn't the Mishnah mean it's as if you didn't tova at all because you didn't have kavana? And isn't the point, simply put, you need kavana in order for tefillah to work? Lo kilo lo tava la meiser, lo tava lechulin. So the Gemara says, no, that's not how to understand the Mishnah. The correct way to understand the Mishnah is that if you tovaled with zero kavana, so at least it would work for chulin. That's how to understand the Mishnah. Now, that doesn't sound like the real pshat of the Mishnah. Who suffered dichuya kamat chelei? He thought, you know, that he was just pushing me off. But that's not really the pshat of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, nafak dak, he went out, he did an investigation of Ashkach Tanya, and he found the following braisa, and that really is the correct pshat of the Mishnah. Tava v'lochzuk mutal l'chulin v'asal l'maiser. That if you toveled in the mikvah, and you had no kavana whatsoever, mutar l'chulin. You come out of that mikvah, you can eat chulin, but you can't eat meiser. So you see that toveling in the mikvah for the purposes of chulin does not require any kavana whatsoever. Amalei Abai l'Rav Yosef le'me te'avet yufta de'Rav Yochanan. Meha. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So now for an half of Amud of Gemara, all we've been doing now is supporting Rav. So again, the case is a woman tovels in the mikvah. She was forced to tovel in the mikvah. She had no intent whatsoever when she tovel in the mikvah. She comes out from toveling in the mikvah. She can go home to her husband. Right? That's what Rav said. Okay? What's behind that? Chulin. Chulin doesn't require kavana. Okay. And now what we did is we quoted a Mishnah Machshirin. We quoted a Mishnah Chagiga. We have given a lot of support to Rav. So now the Gemara says, so let's go back to the beginning. So now Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan says that she tovels in the mikvah and she did not have intent, she cannot go home to her husband. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. So now, Mishnah Chagiga, Mishnah Machshirin, isn't all this a refutation of Rav Yochanan? certainly seems that way. The Gemara asks exactly that question. So let's say that all this now is a refutation of Rav Yochanan. So Amalei Rav Yonasan hu damak Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. I'm sorry. Amalei Rav Yochanan hu damak Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. So the Gemara says no, because, well, not no. Yes, those Mishnayos would be problematic against Rabbi Yochanan, but I will show you that there is support for Rav Yochanan from a Braisa. He can go like Rav Yonasan ben Yosef, the time Rav Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, Vikoves, Ma Tamud Lomer Shenis. Right? We're in the halachas of Nige Begadim, where your clothing have tsaras, right? You can have tsaras, your clothing can have tsaras, or your house can have tsaras. Now, when it comes to your clothing, so there is laundering. There are two launderings that are done to your clothing. Mekish tachbosis shnila tachbosis rishona. There's a hekesh, there's a connection between that first laundering and the second laundering. Ma tachbosis rishona ladas, av tachbosis shnila ladas. So just like the first laundering is ladas, Rashi points out the first laundering that's done is to simply see whether or not they're really saras. So to the second laundering, which is done for the purposes of tahara, also needs to be done ladas. Now the first tachboses is done to ascertain whether or not it's actual saras. That's done by the kohen. What about the second tefillah? Does that also have to be done by the kohen? Tamalamer v'taher mikom akom. No, the second tachboses. Thank you. The second tachbosis does not need to be done by a kohen. That could be done anyway. But what you see over here is that the second tachbosis, which is toveling in the mikvah, does require das. It requires kavana. Okay. So maskev la Rav Shimi bar Ashi, umiyam Rav Yochanan hakiv, am Rav Yochanan halachik istam mishnah, v'tanan, nafla sakim v'shachta, afapish v'shachta kadarka psula, v'avinam ba taim de nafla ha'yipila hukshera, v'afagab de lo mechamvein, v'amrinam antana lehu de lo ba'i kavan l'shchita, am Rav Rabbi Nasan, hi b'shchita. So the Gemara asks, I know I just read a lot, but the Gemara basically asks, I don't understand. We have a general rule that Rav Yochanan holds like istam mishnah, right? We've seen this time and again. That if you have an anonymous Mishnah, Rav Yochanan says, that's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi tipping us, right, winking at us and telling us, that's the halacha. That's Rav Yochanan Shita throughout Chas. And we have a Mishnah in Chulin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amad Aleph. And the Mishnah discusses where I throw a knife and I have no intent whatsoever and it works. So you see that in the world of Chulin, you don't need Kavana. So how can Rav Yochanan now say that a woman who's forced in the mikvah, she can't go home to her husband, but that's chulin. And by chulin, you don't need kavana. So I don't understand. Rav Yochanan always follows the anonymous Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, and our Mishnah indicates that by chulin, you don't need kavana. Okay, that's a strong question. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, the Amar Rava, Rabbi Nasan, he. So b'shchita afilu Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is we're going to divide. We're going to separate. In the world of Chulin at large, Rav Yochanan will tell you, I need Kavana. Right? Toveling in the mikvah, even for Chulin, you need Kavana. Even though the Mishnah Machshirin and the Mishnah in Chagiga indicates otherwise. But again, we pointed out Rav Yochanan doesn't agree with those Mishnayos. And I guess we'll have to say those are not Stam Mishnayos. I guess we'll have to say that. I'm not sure how that works. But as far as Shechita is concerned, Shechita is different. Even Rav Yochanan acknowledges Shechita is different. Shechita does not need Kavana, even though it's just Chulin. It's an exception to the general rule. Why is an exception to the general rule? Because we know that when it comes to Kachim, and I Shecht Kachim, and I'm just Misasik, meaning I have no Kavana whatsoever, it's disqualified. So what do you see? That's Kachim. Mechlal de Chulin lo be'in and Kavana. So that shows us that when it's not kachin, when I'm shechting, non-kachin, otherwise known as aramasechta, chulin, so that doesn't require kavana as well. Good. So that is why Rav Yochanan is not bothered by our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is not a rule, our Mishnah is exception. Our Mishnah is dealing with chulin, shechting of chulin does not require kavana, period. V'rabanan nehid lo b'inan kavana l'zvicha l'chaticha b'inan. Now, what about the Chachamim? Meaning, that's all our Mishnah, and as we pointed out in the beginning of today's daf, that's Rabbi Nasan. What about the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Nasan? So they will say like this. You're right. Obviously, you don't need special kavanah when you shecht an animal, when you shecht chulin. But you do need kavanah to cut something, right? And Tosfos over here points out not just something, but specifically an animal. You need kavanah to cut, right? That's not a kavanah to do the mitzvah of shechita, but you do need kavanah to cut. Good. So that's the layer of the whole sugya. Okay? Let's pause over here. Let's summarize basically where we're at. Okay? Fundamental machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, whether by chulin you need kavanah. So Rav says you don't. Period. So if a woman tovels in the mikvah and she had no kavanah whatsoever, and we can even say better, meaning let's say she was pushed into the mikvah. So she had really had no intent whatsoever to even go in the mikvah. But she went into the mikvah. So Rav will tell you she can come out and she's toveled. So she can be with her husband. She can eat chulin. Right? For chulin, you don't need kavanah whatsoever. That's the opinion of Rav. And Rav is consistent throughout all areas of Shas that by chulin, you don't need kavanah. I shecht an animal, you don't need kavanah. Meaning you just simply shecht and had no intent whatsoever. The shechita would be a fine shechita. Rav Yochanan disagrees in general. Rav Yochanan says that, no, even for chulin you need kavanah. So that means that this woman who was forced into the mikvah, she comes out of the mikvah, she can't be with her husband. Because even for chulin you require kavanah. Rav Yochanan will tell you, shechita is an exception to that rule. Meaning, I agree that in the world of shechita you don't need kavanah, but that's an exception. In general, you need kavanah even for chulin. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. In the world of shechita, everybody agrees you don't need kavanah for the mitzvah of shechita. The only question is, do you need an iota of kavanah just to cut? That's a machloket between Rabbi Nassan and the Chachamim, and our Mishnah follows like Rabbi Nassan. I don't even need kavanah to shech. So if I have a knife in my hand, I throw it against the wall, and my only intent was just simply that it goes from point A to point B. It just simply has koach gavra, but I had no intention to cut whatsoever. And after I threw the knife, an animal walks by, and I successfully cut its neck and performed shechita. Rabbi Nassan said, perfect. It's a good shechita. I didn't even have kavanah to cut something. It just happened. Rabbi Nassan said, would say that would work. And the Chachamim on that disagree, and they say, no. You at least had to have in mind kavanah to shecht something. And we go like Rabbi Nassan. The halacha is like Rabbi Nassan. The Gemara says that. And as far as Rav and Rav Yochanan is concerned, so Rav, right? Even though it's strange, normally the halacha is like Rav Yochanan. Yeah, meaning, you know, this is such a legal discussion. Meaning, you ask any one of them, right? Should you have kavanah? Of course, you should have kavanah. But over here, we want to know what happens without kavanah. Meaning, what would it work without kavanah? Mitzvah srichot kavanah, mitzvah do not, and srichot kavanah. Because, right, it is a good point. The discussion over here, right, correct. The discussion over here revolves around, is it effective? Meaning mitzvahs for sure, you know, the mitzvah itself, I blow a shofar, I have kavanah, I don't have kavanah. Right. Here, she toveled in the mikvah. Here, you shechted the animal. Is it effective what happened? Is what happened now, based on the reality that they toveled in the mikvah, can she now proceed with her life, having had toveled in the mikvah? Okay. Let's go on. Rabbi Nassan, I'm sorry. Amarava. Behazakin Rabbi Nassan l'Rabbanan. So Rava says, you know, on the machlokas between Rabbi Nassan versus the Chachamim, Rabbi Nassan's right. Right, Rava's saying this. Right? Miksiv v'chatachta v'zavachta ksiv. So the Torah doesn't say, and you cut, the Torah says, and you shecht. Well, I'm using the, you know, the Torah uses the words v'zavachta. I be'in a kavan l'chaticha filo zvicha nami libay. I lo be'in a kavan l'zvicha. So, right, when it comes to shechting, it's the Torah says v'zavachta, right? And you'll be zoveach. Why doesn't the Torah just simply say cut? So, hechidami. I'm sorry, fine. So, in other words, it's either or. Either you need kavanah to shecht, right, like in the world of kachim, or you don't need kavanah at all, not even to cut. Meaning there isn't this middle category of, well, you don't need kavanah to shech, but you do need kavanah to cut. There's no such middle category. So Rava says, I totally side with Rabbi Nassan on this issue. Either you need kavanah to shech, like in the world of kachim, or you don't need kavanah at all. Okay. Hechi dami nidash enantza, v'tavla. Okay, it took an amud of Gemara, but we're back. Back on the case of the woman who's in Nida, she's nensa, she's forced into the mikvah. What does that mean? What exactly is the case? Ilema denensa chaverta va'atpala. Kavana de chaverta kavana mal yasehi. Interestingly enough, the case is not what you would have expected, which is her friend pushes her in the mikvah. Okay? Because interestingly enough, and you have to formulate this well, and I don't know if I can. Interestingly enough, there is kavana over there where her friend will have kavana for her. Now, usually in the world of kavana, it's personal, meaning you usually need kavana for your own actions, right? Somebody having kavana for you, in the world of mikvah and tefilas b'mikvah, it works. And we know it works. V'od b'truma nami achla did not. And how do I know that it works? Because consider the following mishnah. It's a mishnah nida. Let's say you have a woman who does not have mental faculty, right? And she's married. How does she tov on the mikvah? So, im yesh lahem pichos metaknos osan ochlos betruma. Now, the question over here is, how does she tov on the mikvah go home to her husband? That's not the question, because that's chulin, and as we pointed out, you don't need kavana. But how does she ever eat truma? Now, you could just simply say, well, she doesn't, but she's able to. The Mishnah Nida tells us that you can have a woman who's a pikeach, who has mental faculty, and the pikeach, or the pikachas, I should say correctly, tovas her in the mikvah, the cheresh, the shota, the suma. Why suma? Yeah, I don't know why. Just simply because she needs to know where to go? Because her issue is not das. Okay. Yeah, but no, but okay. I don't know. Cheresh always, we always assume a cheresh is both a deaf mute. So in the time of the Mishnah, in the time of the Gemara, You're post Helen Keller, meaning before that a cheresh was really somebody who just simply, you know, because of her inability to communicate, so she was always considered to be a la ben das or bas das in this case.
Isn't this something that the zochin bodim shalom? In other words, she gets pushed into the mikvah.
Okay, fine. So essentially, yes. What is strange, and again, you have to formulate it well, is that somehow the woman who's toveling her can provide kavana for her, can provide das for her. And how that works exactly, I'm not sure, but it works. Point is, it works. So, assuming that's true, and the Mishnah Nida says it's true, so then, what's our case? Meaning, we spent an amud discussing a scenario where a woman was forced into a mikvah, she comes out of the mikvah, so Rav and Rav Yochanan are having this debate whether or not she could eat truma. Right? They both agree, I take it back, they both agree that she can eat truma, they're only discussing whether or not she can go home to her husband. Okay? And the issue of whether you need kavana for chulin, you don't need kavana for chulin. But if the scenario was she was pushed by a friend into the mikvah, interestingly enough, that would work. The kavana for that can be provided by a friend. So Amar Papa, Rabbi Nassan, Shanaflam, and Agesh, Rabbanan, Sheyarda Lehaker. So the Gemara says, I'll give you two scenarios. Number one, according to Rabbi Nassan. Now remember, according to Rabbi Nassan, his threshold for Kavana is real low. Meaning, according to Rabbi Nassan, you just simply need Koach Gavra. So we have to come to a case where there's simply no Koach Gavra whatsoever. She fell off a bridge. Okay? Let's assume a nice low bridge, right? She fell off a bridge and she just landed into the water. So there, she didn't even have, there wasn't even koach gavra, meaning that was gravity. She didn't even jump into the water. So according to Rabbi Nassan, that would be the scenario where Rav and Rav Yochanan are debating. And according to the Chachamim,
where the Chachamim would say that's nothing, because that's not even Kalach Gavra. So according to the Chachamim, what would be the scenario? She's really hot, right? It's a hot day, right? And she looks to cool off. So she's going into the water for no other purpose other than cooling off. So that's where, according to the Chachamim now, there is Kalach Gavra, but there's no Kavana. So according to the Chachamim, that would be the scenario where she's Nensa, where she's forced into the mikvah. Okay. Let's go on. Amar Rava. A little bit more about this idea that Shechting Chulin requires Kavana, or more to the point, does not require Kavana. Okay. Shachat Par V'Shachat Behema Acheresim Ha'Ledivra HaKol Psula. Okay. The Par Aduma, I know sounds like we're jumping a little bit off the board over here, but when you shecht the Par Aduma, you got to be focused, right? All 11 of them were shechted in the history of you need to be focused. And not only do you need to be focused, but you can't do anything else in conjunction with shechting the Par Aduma. Like, I know this sounds so bizarre, but for example, right? I'm about to eat a watermelon. So while you're shechting the Par Aduma, could you do me the small favor, right? Could you cut the watermelon with that same motion of shechting? So not only is that bizarre, but much more significantly, that will disqualify your shechting of the Par Aduma. Because by the Par Aduma, you cannot do malacha acheres, you cannot do any other activity while shechting the Par Aduma. In addition to that, okay, that's number one. Okay, and there are psukim that darshan it, we're not going to go through the psukim right now. Okay. In addition to that, the other piece of information that we need to remind ourselves, not remind ourselves, I don't know if we ever discussed this before, is that when you shecht your Par Aduma, you cannot shecht another animal together with it. Now, we discussed that when you want to shecht two animals, right, double header, right, if you want to shecht two animals at the same time, you could do that. But if you cannot shecht a Par Aduma and another animal together with the Par Aduma.
Yeah.
So, I'm a Rav. Shecha Par V'Shecha Behem Acheres Ima. So if I shecht a Par Aduma and another animal right alongside together with it in the same motion, L'divrei HaKol Psula. According to everybody, it's pasul. You've disqualified your Par Aduma. Nishchata Behema Acheres Ima. What if, however, you didn't know there was another animal next to the Par Aduma? Okay. I know that sounds a little bit strange, but you didn't know. You didn't know there was another animal right behind the Par Aduma. You were... Okay, in other words, by total luck, there happened to have been another animal right behind the Par Aduma, and with your motion of shechting the Par Aduma, you also shechted another animal next to it. Now, interestingly enough, Rabbi Nassan over here is going to come and bite you, and it's going to hurt you. Because essentially what you did, even though you had no intention to do this, is you shechted another animal. And remember, Rabbi Nassan teaches us that that works. And because that works, you've now disqualified your Par Aduma. Because your Par Aduma cannot have another animal shechted with it. So the Gemara makes exactly this point. Li Rabbi Nassan Par Psula Behema Kshera. So your Par Aduma is going to be pasul. The other animal that you happen to shecht, okay, it's going to be your consolation prize, right? Even though you ruined your Par Aduma, at least you'll be able to go home and have a nice steak and lament the fact that you're going to have to find a new Par Aduma. So Psula Behema Kshera. I'm sorry. Le Rabbi Nassim, Parak Psula Behema Kshera. Le Rabbanan, Parak Shema Behema Psula. And according to the Chachamim, the Par Aduma is fine, and the animal that you shechted is not going to be fine. Because remember, according to the Chachamim, you need nominal Kavana, at least Kavana, to have cut the other animal, to shecht the other animal. Okay. All this is well and good. Pshita, the Gemara says, but what did you just teach me? Meaning, in other words, if you know your halachas of Par Aduma well, which maybe you didn't know, but the Gemara assumes that we know them. Okay. That's nice of the Gemara to do. So if you, as long as you know your halacha is a paraduma, so what did we learn through these series of mishnayos? Pshita seems to be obvious. Nishkata behema acheres l'Rabbi Nassan if tzrichle. Saka dat chamina v'shacharos samarachmana v'loosa v'chaverta v'heichi dami kegon sheshachat shtei paras b'hadei adade. I might have thought that this halacha, that you can't cut two animals, you can't shech two animals, means two para aduma side by side. That's what you might have thought. Ava behema dechulin im alo. But if I cut a para aduma and any other animal, maybe that doesn't upset, maybe that doesn't disqualify the para aduma, kamash malan. So that's the chiddush. The chiddush is, I may have misunderstood the halacha of you're not allowed to shech the paraduma and another animal. I might have thought that that other animal has to be another paraduma. That's when I disqualify. Okay. Chatach delasi ma divrei kol psula. Okay. What if instead of cutting another animal, I cut what I call watermelon, right? I think they say gourd, right? What if you cut a melon? So, psula. Why? Because that's melacha acheres. That's doing another activity. Nechtecha delasi ma divrei kol kshera. But what if you didn't know that there was a melon on the other side of the neck of the animal and you happened to have caught it? So that's okay because that's malacha acheres, but with no intent, that would be fine. That's acceptable. Okay.
That's okay according to who?
According to everybody. Because that's not shechting. That's just, yeah. Because that's malacha acheres. Okay. Good. No, because that's not an issue of shechita. That's an issue of just malach acheres. And malach acheres, you have to have intent to do malach acheres. All right, two big sugyas coming up now. Today's daf is daf lamed beis. We start now with the Mishnah. We are here in Shehiya. Okay, this is it. All right, the Mishnah lamed beis and the Gemara lamed beis discusses the psul of Shehiya. We have mentioned it a number of times, but we never actually gave an amount of what would be a pause in the middle of shechting, which would disqualify the animal and render the animal in the vela. We quoted the Mishnah earlier on, but only to make another point. But here's the Mishnah. Here's the actual Mishnah, and here's the Gemara. And then the next thing that we're going to cover, although I don't think we're going to get to it, is the discussion of Ikor. Okay, so let's do the sugya of Shehiya. Naflu sakin vihigbi of naflu kelav vihigbian hishkiz es sakin va'af ba'chaver v'shachat. So the Mishnah gives a number of scenarios. Scenario number one: your knife falls to the ground. Okay, you started shechting, and you can imagine it to happen. The knife falls out of your hand. Okay. So you go pick it up, and you continue shechting. Obviously, there was a pause now in your shechita. Scenario number two: naflu kelav vihigbian. Okay, one of your clothing fell down. Okay, right? All right. I have a mental picture, but whatever. Your clothing fell down, and you went to go pick up your clothing, and then you continue shechting. Hishchiz es hasaken, or you take a little pause in the middle because to sharpen your knife, right? And va'af, and you. And you get really tired, right? And so, right in the middle of shechting, you kind of run out of gas. So, ubacha ver v'shachas, so your friend comes along now and he shechs. So, I'm sure there's a reason why the Mishnayos give, right, all three different scenarios. The point is simply, you pause in the middle of your shechting. Im shaha kidei shechita psula. So, the Mishnah says that if the lapse in which you paused in the middle of your shechting is the amount of time that it takes an entirety of shechting, so then that's going to be pasul. This shear is, by the way, a common shear. So I'll give you another example. You're in the middle of Shema, and you pause, right? So what kind of pause would require you to go back and start Shema from the very beginning? The amount of a pause that would take to say Shema from the beginning to end. So this shear we're familiar with, right? So over here also, the amount of time that it would take an entire shechita is the shear, that's the amount that would constitute a pause in the middle of the shechting and would require you to, well, in this case, I'd say go back and do it again, but it means the animal's a nevela. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, k'day shah, k'day bikur. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, the amount of time it takes for you to examine your knife. Okay. So there are two opinions in the Mishnah, the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. Okay.
How long does it take for bikur?
Bikur is to run your finger over the knife. And Tosus over here points out, Tosus. I don't know. I don't know. The Mishnah does not give us units of seconds. The Mishnah gives us units of action. So you got to know. And this is going to take us now into the discussion of the Gemara. So my k'day shechita. So we will first discuss most of the Gemara's discussion. The Gemara's discussion from here until the next Mishnah, which is on the bottom of the Amud. Most of the discussion will revolve around the Chachamim, because that's the Halacha. The Halacha is like the Chachamim. Although I will tell you, the Ramah's Machmir, the Ramah says, any Shehiyah whatsoever is going to, we're Machmir. But just Aliba de Gemara, according to the Gemara, what is this time period of Shehiyah, of pausing? So, my k'day shechita, Amar Rav, k'day shechita is behema acheres. Okay. So, Rav says that the amount of time that it would take you to shecht another animal, right, from beginning to end. Not, what do you mean, where?
You have to go fetch another animal.
Oh, good. Hold. So, Amar Rav, k'day shechita, Amar Rav, k'day shechita is behema behema va'of la'of. Odilma af behema la'of. Now, in terms of this action of shechting, is it a standard unit of time? Meaning, are we going to say the amount of time that it takes to shecht an animal, period? And that's going to constitute a lapse? So in other words, when you shecht an animal, now I am not a shochet, right, as you all know. So but we can only imagine that shechting an animal takes longer than shechting a chicken, right? You ever see the video of the shechting of a chicken? It's so quick. It's unbelievable, right? Because the chicken's neck is very... Yeah, I know, kaparas. So it's just, I mean, it's the neck is very small, and it's just, right, it's a slice and you're done. It's really, really a short amount of time. An animal, however, it's big, it's bulky, it's got this big neck, right, and the knife that's going in, now, I know we are discussing the difference of a second of it, you know, maybe, but the point being, however, is that obviously it takes longer to shecht an animal than it does a bird. So when our Mishnah says that the shear of shehiyah is the amount of time that it takes to shecht, doesn't mean that there's a standard time for an animal, and that's it, meaning that's the shear, or no? Do I look at what I'm shechting? Meaning if I'm shechting a bird, the shear would be the amount of time that it would take to shecht a bird. If I'm shechting an animal, the shear would be the amount of time to shecht an animal. Amar lahu, so this is a question that was asked to Rav. So Amar lahu, so his response, this is Rav's response, lo have bedichna be bechabibi. I wasn't comfortable with my uncle. Meaning I learned this by my uncle, when Rav says his uncle, right? Rav is talking about Rabbi Chiya. And he says, I wasn't, when I was learning by him, it was, I guess, the earlier stages of me learning by him, and I just didn't have the guts to ask him. I didn't ask him. In other words, it's a good question, I don't know. Itmar, Amar Rav, k'day shechitas behema lebehema va'of la'of. And then the Gemara says that Rav, I guess this is at a later point in time, says that it depends what you're shechting. If you're shechting an animal, the amount of shehiyah, the pause, the lapse in which you're going to shecht, which would render the animal nevela, would be shechitas behema. If I'm shechting a bird, so the pause is shorter, the lapse would be smaller. It would be k'day shechitas of. Shmuel Amar afilo behema la'of, and Shmuel says, no, it's a standard unit. The amount of time that would shecht an animal, that's a shear, that's a standard shear, and it doesn't matter what you're shechting. V'chein ki asa Rav, and Amar Rav Yochanan afilo behema la'of. Rav Yochanan agrees with Shmuel. Okay? So we have a machlokis amarayim. What is the shear? Rav against Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chanina Amar k'day shiyavi behem acheres v'yishchot. So the Rabbi Chanina says, Ben, what you were suggesting a little bit earlier. The amount of time that it would not only take for you to shecht, but the amount of time that would take for you to get an animal and shecht the animal. Meaning you have to look at the totality of the process. So the Gemara says, I don't understand that. Yavi afilo me'alma nasatot v'rach l'shiurim. What do you mean? Meaning get an animal, get it from the barn, right? Get it from New Jersey. Well, what does that mean, get an animal? So, right. Amar Papa omedes la'atel ika beinayu. So the Gemara says, no, we're discussing where the animal is here, and what you need to do is you need to basically put the animal, I feel like we're at a rodeo, right? Put the animal down on the ground, tie up the legs, and shech the animal. So Amri ben Ma'arava Mishmeid Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanin Kedei Shag Biyena V'Yar V'Tsena V'Yishkot Daka L'Daka V'Gasa L'Gasa. The amount of time where you got to pick up the animal, put it down on the ground, shecht it, small animal for a small animal, large animal for a large animal. Amar Rava. Shochi B'Sakin Ra'a Afilu Kol Yom Kulo K'Sheira. Rava is an interesting halacha, which is, let's say the knife you use is really dull, right? I don't mean not exciting. I mean, it's not sharp, right? Not a sharp knife, okay? And you sit there, and I know this sounds terribly cruel, okay? And you sit there, and you're back and forth over the neck of the animal. And, you know, you're making progress just at a really slow rate, okay? That's a shechita k'sheira, okay? I know it's not, it doesn't sound like the best way to do it in terms of tzar bale chayim, but that is a shechita k'sheira. Now, by Rava Shios, I'm sorry. Okay, good. So, by Rava Shios Maushi Starfo. So, let me ask you the following question. Says Rava. Now, we have given a shear for shehiyah, the amount of time that you would need to pause, lapse in the middle of your shechita, which would render the animal nevela. Okay, although we have a machlokes amongst the amoraim exactly what that time unit is, but there is a time unit. So let's, for the purposes of our discussion, say it's 2 seconds. I don't know. I'm just throwing at a number just to have an intelligent discussion. Okay, so let's say it's 2 seconds. What if I do the following? What if I shecht, pause for a half a second, continue shechting, pause for another half a second, and I do that 4 times, okay, until I get to the shear of 2 seconds? Is there tziruf? Can I combine pauses? Okay, the tif sholei mididay. So the Gemara says, well, after having just learned the halacha of Rava, that shechting with a dull knife, and you could do it all day long and it would be fine, so didn't he resolve his own question? The Gemara says, of course he didn't. Hasan b'delo shai. Because over there, you're in constant motion. As long as you're in motion, you don't get, there's no shehiyah. Shehiyah means stop in the action. There's a total pause, a total stoppage of doing the action of shechita. But if you're back and forth, even though it may take you time, even though in a most bizarre scenario it may take you all day, that's not shehiyah. Shehiyah means an actual pause. By Rav Huna Bereid, Rav Nasan Shal, b'mir siman imahu. Okay, well, this is a question that we've just dealt with in the world of Chalada. The Gemara now asks the same exact question by shehiyah. What if I shecht the majority of the simanim, and then I pause? And then I continue and I shecht the last bit of simanim. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, take, I don't know. Right? Similar to the exact question that we asked by Chalada. Now,
if you did the majority, you're already done with the shechita.
That is absolutely correct. And the Gemara, so what you understand is one side of the question, which is, of course it's fine. Right? What bothers you is the Gemara ends up by saying, teku. Right? You understand that it's fine. On the other hand, what you could say is that last little bit that you're doing, since you're now continuing, that's still part of the act of shechita with shehiyah involved. I know that's more difficult to understand, but the Gemara entertains it. And not only does the Gemara entertain it, teku, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. In fact, right, is the Rashi over here? Right. Right. So, right, yeah, it is Rashi over here, right? We're going to get to the Mishnah, but let me just quickly run through this Rashi. So the Gemara says, Rashi writes that if you shechted most of the pipe and for whatever reason you paused, so Rashi says, you know what you should do at that point in time? Stop. Don't keep going. So the Vahavale Nekabama, Vichevanir da Shoche Rov Simanim, Vihishlech Miado. If let's say you shecht the majority of the Simanim, Rashi writes, the Rashi is 4 lines from the bottom of the page. Vahaov Shoah Lamos, and the bird's about to die, also lachsor v'lachto, chamir v'tor shechita. Don't keep cunning, says Rashi.
You should stop. The mutav shiyakal atzaver b'sakin o yamtim hashiyamos. So Rashi says, right, hit the bird with a knife, right, or let, you know, or let the bird die on its own, but don't keep going. Why? Because if I keep going, so that will still now be considered a part of the shechita with shihi involved, and you've just rendered the bird a nevela. Okay. Rabbi Shimon, let's finish up. Rabbi Shimon, Amrim Shah Kadei Biker, Mai Kadei Biker, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Kadei Biker Shal Chacham. This is what we quoted earlier, right? You got to give your knife to a Chacham in order for him to check, right? Out of covet for the Chacham of your community. Im Kein Atas the Deverch L'Shirim. Well, isn't there going to be a difference where if you live next door to the Chacham, as opposed to if the Chacham lives, let's say, for example, in New Jersey? So there's going to be a difference. So Ela Kadei Biker Tavach Chacham. So the Gemara says, of course, that's not what we mean. We mean, let's imagine that the shochet in town happens to be also the chacham. Meaning, we just simply mean the amount of time that it would take for him to check the knife. And Tosfos over here points out, we're talking about a, you know, a regular knife that's normally sanctioned for shechita, right? Two times the diameter of the neck of an animal. The amount of time that it would take him to run his finger up the knife in order to do a bedikah, an examination, that is your shear of shehiyah. Presumably, although I don't know, I'm just guessing, presumably that's a longer shear than the actual act of shechting. Presumably. Not, we go like the Chachamim. The question, I didn't really answer your question. The question is, in the Chachamim, which position do we go by? It's the Machlokas, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina. I told you, Ashkenazim are super machmir on the issue of shehiya. Any shehiya is a mount, but the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, they go like Rav. Right, behema behema, oaf la oaf. Depending on the size of the animal you shecht, the amount of time that it would take you to shecht that type of animal.
The amount of time you shecht, the amount of time off.
Correct. And right, not the year, but center. Okay, all right, well, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we start with the Mishnah, we start with the Ikor. All right.